The Word Made Flesh, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Had this God not come in human flesh, would we ever know the true God? The true God is only known in the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2010.
This is my younger brother.
You gotta help me finish this.
Taught him everything he knows.
You don't want to see where this fight is headed.
Turn on
over.
I'm still his trainer.
This is my shot at the title. I won't get another one after this.
Mickey has a chance to do something that I never did, and he needs me.
Okay, I see you in Mickey's corner.
This is your time.
I had my time, I blew it. You don't have to.
Young Mickey Ward. Young Mickey Ward.
Well, I think it's safe to say that the boxing ring has been a very powerful metaphor in American film. Some of the greatest movies made in the 20th century have been built around that contest of one man against another. That's a little bit of The Fighter that's coming out. He has an Oscar nod as well. Joining us to do a review of that movie and some others here on this Thursday afternoon, December the 16th, here on Issues Etc., Brian Gadawa. He's a screenwriter in Southern California and author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, and he's also got Word Pictures is another one of his books. Brian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you know what I marvel at is that the man who's essentially kind of pushed this movie, The Fighter, Mark Wahlberg, did not start out with a real promising career. He's kind of a former boy band, and suddenly he's making some serious movies with some serious acting power behind them as well.
Yeah, I think he's really the embodiment of the working class hero himself. And in fact, that's why I think he's most successful when he plays working class average guys who achieve triumph over their circumstances, which is what The Fighter really is all about. The Fighter is basically the Rocky for the new millennium. And rather than being feeling derivative, like trying to rip off Rocky, it really kind of goes back to the original heart, its own unique original story, but it has the same heart and soul that Rocky originally did 20, 25 years ago. And it's sure to be Oscar nominations and winnings, because I saw it out here in L.A., and I saw Mark Wahlberg and some of the producers gave a Q&A afterwards, and it was really a very interesting story to see the struggle they had in trying to get this movie made, even with someone with such status as Wahlberg attached to it. It still took them like 4+ years just to get the thing put together. But it really was worth it, because I think people are going to love this story.
Why do you think it is that the boxing ring, Raging Bull, Rocky, there are several others, why do you think that has been such a strong image in American film?
Well, it is a quintessentially American type thing. I know there's worldwide boxing, but I mean, it's an American sport, and I think, but I think in general, sports movies just seem to touch the heart and soul of us, of human beings, because there's something about them about people, it's like a pure, a sport is sort of like a pure focused idea of accomplishing something meaningful. Now, of course, if you pull back and you look at it in terms of eternity or in terms of life and people, it often has very little value, so what? So you won some sports welterweight championships. So what if you won the Olympics? It's like, what about your marriage? And what have you done in life that has helped people? Those things, I think, counter each other. But I find going to these sports, I'm not really a sports guy, but I love all these sports films, and I love all of Mark Wahlberg's sports films, Invincible. I love Secretariat. It was a great film. Everyone should go see Secretariat. It is Americana personified. So is The Fighter. Now, Secretariat is sort of like middle-class America personified, and all the American values that happened with Secretariat, the horse that won the Triple Crown, 30 years ago. It was in my era, and never to be beaten still. And so the fighter is sort of like the working class, a little bit lower, but in that sense, it's the journey of a guy who overcomes great adversity of birth. You know, he's in lower class. He's not around a great neighborhood of people. Some of them are very colorful and interesting. He's got like I think six sisters that are just amazingly funny throughout this film. You know, they're a little coarse and crass and harsh. Let me put it that way. But they're very amusing and funny. But it just shows this journey, even with his relationship with his brother. It's kind of a Jonathan and David story, really, and how he overcomes that lower status in life just through sheer hard determination and work, while also fighting the pressures of the culture that he's in, which is not about achievement and victory. You know, it's very much a losing culture of lower class Massachusetts at the time, and I think that's why it's American, because America is, it doesn't matter where you're born, and you can have the worst circumstances if you really work hard and believe. You know, you can achieve almost anything.
Christian Bale is kind of the force of nature on the screen. He proved that with when he embodies Batman. But and he's played, you name it. He's played. How does he fare playing kind of this man who literally ruins his own life?
Yeah, he ruins his own life while helping his brother, which is just amazing. And I tell you, Christian Bale almost steals the scenes that he's in. It's that great of a pairing of acting. And so Bale is I'm sure he will get an Oscar nom for supporting actor. And Amy Adams also has a great role as the girlfriend of Mickey Ward, who is what Mark Wahlberg is playing. And Amy Adams is just this wonderful tough cookie barmaid who has a fighting scene with Mark's sisters who don't approve of her that is just sort of like the best scene of the movie.
Let's talk a little bit about a movie that came out earlier this year and also has an Oscar nod, I think, in more than one respect, with Jesse Eisenberg playing Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook. Or I guess the real question of the entire conflict of this film is he the founder of Facebook, kind of a thing. First of all, I saw this movie and I never expected to be as gripped by a story about what is essentially computer geeks coming up with the next social network as I was, but I was.
Yeah, same here. I went in very low expectations. However, I shouldn't have, because David Fincher, the director, I've always been pleased with his filmmaking abilities, and Aaron Sorkin is a great writer, although he's one of those big Hollywood TV guys who's also very full of hatred and vile bitterness, as if you've kept up with the news lately, as he's attacked Sarah Palin with just violence and hatred. However, he is good at his craft of writing, and in Social Network, they really pair up to tell this story about the beginnings of this social networking, you know, like you mentioned. And the amazing thing about it is it could be the best movie of the year, in my opinion. And the reason why is because any movie that is a great drama, keeps you captivated, great storytelling, great acting by everyone. Armie Hammer is brilliant. Jesse Eisenberg is brilliant. They're all great. But when it transcends its small localness of a story, like this is a story, like you mentioned, of the geeks who sort of started Facebook and how it got started at, what was it, Harvard, I think it was, and how it grew to become this phenomenon, and then what the result of that was, how that tore apart the friendships of the very people who were trying to connect friends and to be get on the inside crowd. That was their desire, and it shows their journey as they're doing that. But then when they get to the top, they're the loneliest people in the world. So the movie is sort of an embodiment of our modern culture, and particularly our youth culture, that's very nihilistic, very narcissistic, very self-centered, and very alienated at the same time that they're connected. Because, I mean, after all, Facebook is the perfect metaphor of the alienation that we're feeling while we're reaching out to people. We're making these connections, but they're not with real people face-to-face. They're not human connections. They're digital connections, which further alienates us. So you've got this strange contrast and struggle that this movie captures that I think is going on in our society today. That's why I think it transcends what it really is on the surface.
I heard one reviewer say, you're going to love the movie. This is when it came out. You're going to love the movie unless your name is Mark Zuckerberg. Then you probably won't like the way that he was depicted. But in any event, whether it is a fictionalized version of this young man, he ends pretty much the same way he started.
Yeah.
It's when you're looking for character arc, everybody else gets it except for this poor guy who is left standing kind of at the top of the heap.
And, yeah, and, you know, I mean, even though it's a fictionalization, even though it's an interpretation of these people, I still think that what they're saying in that story, and I'm sure a lot of the filmmakers themselves, including Aaron Sorkin, experience that same loneliness and alienation of being at the top, because that's a universal truth. The very people who become rich and famous cannot trust anyone to know them and love them. And the ones that they gave up in the process of becoming rich and famous, those were the true ones that they should have kept. And so a lot of these very people, this is where I also think it sort of reveals this, our celebrity culture, our rich and famous culture, and all of our obsession with that, it's really a hollow obsession because those people are the emptiest of all. And that's so powerful truth, you know, that the story tells.
One of the tragic figures there is the character played by Justin Timberlake, who, by the way, is quite an actor.
A
pretty amazing young man, and that is the guy who kind of helps them along with their money problems. When we come back from this break, we'll talk a little bit more about The Social Network. Then we're going to turn to The Rabbit Hole. We'll also talk about some Christian themes in the films, if we get to them. Faster, Paranormal Activity 2, and, yes, even Tangled from Disney. Our guest is Brian Gadawa. He's a screenwriter in Southern California, author of the books Hollywood Worldviews and Word Pictures. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, December the 16th. Your questions or comments are welcome. This break is a great time to call 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
The Word Made Flesh, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Had this God not come in human flesh, would we ever know the true God? The true God is only known in the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2010.
We have some great programs lined up for you during the Christmas season, and here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Christmas programming. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 18th and 25th. Talk radio for the Christmas season. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org and click support.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, IssuesETC.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, IssuesETC.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
People want to go on the internet and check out their friends, so why not build a website that offers that? I'm talking about taking the entire social experience and putting it online.
I'm living in a that 21st century.
Psych got 2,200 hits within 2 hours?
22,000.
Wow.
We don't know what it can be. We don't know what it will be. We know that it is cool.
This is our thing.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Brian Goodow is our guest during a movie review, talking a little bit about Social Network, which is the interest of those who are interested in the Oscars and the Golden Globes. I mentioned before the break that the Sean Parker character, played by Justin Timberlake, comes off as perhaps another real victim of his own success. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, it's a character who founded Napster, and he becomes the... because of his slick conniving, he becomes an advisor to Zuckerberg in the movie. And in so doing, he's the man that starts to split apart the true friendship that Zuckerberg had with his other good friend, who I can't remember his name now, but he helped him to start the business. So that's the drama that's going on there. And what it becomes is, you know, a friend who's not as sharp and wise in the ways of the world versus someone who's sharp and wise in the ways of the world, but is he really your friend? And again, the movie is like a Citizen Kane update, you know, about a man who loses his innocence and connection to the world in his pursuit of trying to achieve that very phenomenon.
Let's talk about Rabbit Hole, which is... I mean, if we're talking about tragedy, we're talking about another movie that's at least steeped in tragedy.
Yeah. Yeah, Rabbit Hole is a phenomenal film about basically it just tells the journey of a couple who lost their child in an accident, in a death. And so in that sense, it's just very sad and dour. But it shows the real struggles that marriages go through, because if you know statistically, a lot of marriages break up when they lose a young child like that, and why and how does that occur? You'd think it would draw them together, but oftentimes it pulls them apart. And this movie captures that reality that is very universal and that many many people experience. That's why I think it's so brilliant. It has that ability of a great story to transcend itself. It's very specific, but it transcends itself by being very true to the journey of the characters. Therefore, many people can connect to it, and so it's very simple in that sense. And it takes it, you know, from beginning to end. It's a sad drama. There's a by the way, you know, it stars Nicole Kidman, who could easily win an Oscar, as well as Aaron Eckhart. They're the couple, and. That's what it focuses on. And, you know, I watched the movie and I just thought, you know, it's too bad, because I do know that the general movie-going public doesn't tend to like these sort of realistic dramas about life and loss and dealing with death, which is too bad, because it's, you know, nobody's going to probably see the movie. It'll probably win some Oscars. But it's a very touching, meaningful story that really, really touches you in the soul. But, you know, most people... just want to go see action or romance or something, and they're kind of wary of these realistic dramas, which is too bad. I think they're missing out. And another movie that's very similar to that is The Company Men, with Ben Affleck and Tommy Lee Jones, and a cameo by Kevin Costner. And that's another sad story about three guys at different levels and ages all losing their jobs through downsizing of major shipping industry out in, you know, in the East Coast. And again, it's a realistic, sad drama that really touches home with the human journey of that universal struggle that many of us have had to deal with. And what does it mean to lose your job and not be able to get one for a long time? And how does it affect your self-esteem and your self-worth and all that? So these movies like Rabbit Hole and The Company Men, and there's a lot of sad, serious dramas or negative, weird stuff that's coming in at the end of the year in the Oscars that I think a lot of people just aren't going to watch, because they're just not going to be out to see that kind of serious stuff.
There's a scene in Company Men, Affleck is interviewing for a job for which he's wildly overqualified.
Yeah.
And he just kind of loses his mind at one point. Because he's applied for a much higher job, and they're telling him, yeah, we got this kind of lower mid-level job, And the angst in his face of a guy who has tasted the American dream and now is tasting the other side of this is tangible. I think maybe a lot of people don't want to see it because it is too real.
Yeah, but you know, it also shows, again, what movies' stories about loss and death, Company Men is about loss, Rabbit Hole is about death, what they do is they help you reorient your priorities, because in that movie, Ben Affleck learns what is really important in life, learns how he was missing out on the life with his family because of his idolization of his career, which many of us experience. And so he actually rediscovers what's really important in life through this journey. So I think, you know, in some ways, that's the stuff we need the most, you know. And that's not to say that those values aren't in the bigger blockbuster entertaining movies, but these are just a little bit more realistic, so they hit closer to home sometimes.
We always like to talk about the animated features, as they used to call them. Now we just call them movies again because we've forgotten that they're animated. But Tangled is the one that comes from Disney. You said has a pretty strong Christian theme. What do you mean?
Yeah, I would have to say that this year for me, the best movies have been the animated movies. Toy Story 3, Despicable Me, and now Tangled, and many others. They just are the best stories out there. They really take stories seriously, and they have wonderful values because they know that they're trying to hit the family market, so they can't push the envelope, all this, you know, like they often do in other movies. And so they really just have some good values. Tangled is one of those. In a way, I was losing really interest in, and I'd already lost respect for Disney many years ago, because, you know, they've become an arm to subtly propagandize people with humanistic values in the guise of good family entertainment. And, you know, everything from the paganism in Pocahontas to, you name it. You know, rebellion against their parents is acceptable, all this kind of stuff. Tangled takes us back to the good old-fashioned fairy tales with good old-fashioned morals where, like, you know, it's the story of this young girl who, I won't go into all the detail, but she has a royal parentage, but she has magical hair that, for a particular reason, it's magical that heals. And so this evil witch steals her, and so that she can keep healing herself and stay young by the golden hair. And she keeps this girl locked in a tower, and her hair has to grow because if you cut it, it'll die and it will have no healing properties. That's why she has all the long hair. And then, of course, a young thief in the woods stumbles upon her, and they start this journey together of love and romance, but also trying to stay alive. And this selfish thief learns to become a loving, giving, sacrificial man for the sake of this woman. And, of course, you know, as all fairy tales end, it ends ultimately in a marriage. But what's so powerful about the story is it really goes back to more old traditional Christian values. You know, it's not about some of these modern day fairy tales are, you know, very feminist, very egalitarian, and men are emasculated, but not in this story. It's like a man is a good, strong leader, and a man should lead, and if a man doesn't lead, it affects the relationship negatively. But a man also has to be sensitive, and a woman can also bring much to the relationship as well. But the point is that it's got what I would consider to be more of a biblical value of what a relationship that leads towards marriage should be. But you know what? It's not just the values that make this movie great. I don't think you should, you know, a poorly made movie with good values is no better than a great movie with bad values. But this movie has both. It's a great story, great animation, and it's also got good values.
Brian Godow is a screenwriter in Southern California. He's author of the books Hollywood Worldviews and Word Pictures. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., Dr. Andrew Steinman's going to join us. The church tomorrow will be remembering the prophet Daniel and the three young men. We know them by their pagan names, oddly enough, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their journey into the fiery furnace, their time there with a fourth young man who looks like a son of the gods, and their miraculous salvation will be the subject for our conversation with Dr. Andrew Steinman of Concordia University Chicago tomorrow, that's Friday, on Issues Etc. Do me a favor this weekend, and while you're doing that, next weekend as well. If you would, go to our website, issuesetc.org, the support page there has at its very top the Christmas bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Christmas programs. We'd like your congregation, your whole congregation, to know the programming we're going to have for you, our listeners, over Christmas here on Issues Etc. That's why we have the bulletin there ready for you to download and print off and take to your congregation if you can in this week's bulletin and next week's bulletin, so everybody knows what kind of great Christmas programming we'll have for you and for all your congregation over Christmas. Issuesetc.org, click support right there at the top of the page. There's the Issues Etc. Christmas program bulletin insert already for you and already for your congregation this Sunday and next Sunday, if you would. Thank you very much for helping spread the word about Issues Etc., Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio. We see these tragedies, these things in life, we watch them reflected on the silver screen. In the best of all possible worlds, they reflect reality, because that's what Christianity is about. It is about our real plight, sin, and our real Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.